everybody. Welcome back to Popping Into Movies. I'm Kate.
And I'm Jared.
And today we are talking about Godzilla versus King Kong.
Which is oddly really appropriate for our podcast because I think it is the definition of a popcorn movie.
Yes, I didn't think about it that way.
It is the type of movie where you just turn it on.
Turn your brain off.
Turn it off, turn the popcorn on, and just be ready to enjoy some cool monster action and space out for like 30% of other stuff that's going on with humans in it.
That's true.
I think that's the best way to put this movie. And what it does try to do with the monsters, I think it does really well. And it's actually not as egregious. So last week we watched Godzilla King of Monsters, which I think is really bad. So I was a little nervous.
I would agree.
I was a little nervous going into this because that movie, oh my God, it's like an hour of just people blubbering about random stuff and then a little bit of Godzilla.
It felt like 5 hours.
Yes. But this one, I think it felt paced much better. There's a lot less human stuff. And I think some of the human stuff, even I was a little more invested in.
Yeah, I think the plot in the beginning was pretty good, human-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, I really
it
like...
It was enough.
It's crazy how much better the Kong crew is, like with the deaf girl and like the monkey biologist is, compared to all the Godzilla Millie Bobby Brown stuff.
Oh my gosh, two different movies.
Yeah, and I wish we could just cut the half of it out. But
so we should like preface this with the fact that we've never seen any of the other ones.
Yes, I saw the Bryan Cranston, the first one, like the 2014 one.
Oh,
and okay. I didn't see Kong Skull Island because I'm not the biggest King Kong fan. And then just last week we watched King of Monsters to get ready for this one, which
we
honestly we didn't need to.
We should have watched Kong Skull Island.
I've heard nothing
but
good things.
Good things.
Yeah. And after watching this, I went in a Godzilla fan and I think I'm a King Kong appreciator.
Oh my God.
At the end of this.
Yeah, you're really hardcore for Godzilla.
Yes.
So
yeah,
have you changed your mind?
No, I still like Godzilla more, but I like King Kong a lot. So I guess a little background. I don't think, Kate, you've never seen any like other old Godzilla, that type of thing.
No,
right?
I don't think I have.
Yeah. And I grew up with like, I remember there's some random VHSs in my house of like King Kong versus Rodan and Mothra and Mechagodzilla, which is, you know, pretty important for this movie. So I have a soft spot, you know, he's a cool dragon lizard. I like, you know, he falls into that kaiju cool monster stuff. So I think I like it overall. So I was excited for this movie.
My only foray into the big monster movies, which isn't really even anything, I just have always been a fan of Mothra.
Oh,
who
yeah.
She is.
We pour one out for Mothra this movie. She passed away.
In the last movie,
Godzilla's girlfriend died.
Passed away. So. But I've always been a big fan of the idea of, it's just funny to me.
Like a big moth.
A big moth
being
terrorizing
yeah.
the
and
world.
I'm glad that she's a good one. She's a good one.
She was.
So we start our podcast with a sad moment of silence for Mothra. Okay, now before we go further into the movie... I think this is our most ambitious popcorn yet because we did two popcorns. Do you want to talk a little bit?
Because it's a fight. Yeah, we had to. We did a Godzilla popcorn and we did a King Kong popcorn.
Why don't we talk about Godzilla popcorn first? What'd you do?
Godzilla popcorn. Honestly, the idea for this one actually came from my uncle. We were talking on the phone and he mentioned a wasabi popcorn because wasabi is Japanese mm-hmm. and it's green.
Yep.
Perfect. That's exactly what Godzilla is.
Yeah. So, you know, we have our popcorn base. How did you integrate the wasabi soy sauce stuff?
We basically just mixed wasabi and soy sauce together and poured it on popcorn, which, I mean, I looked up a lot of wasabi popcorn recipes out there. They're all made with powdered wasabi, like
yes.
a special ingredient you have to go buy.
Yeah, and we even ate sushi the day before watching
yeah,
and recording
yesterday
this.
We ate sushi.
So we had a whole big glob of wasabi paste.
Well, huge. Like they always give you like a softball of wasabi. But
it came in handy this time though.
This time we actually used it all.
Yeah, and the way I was really surprised to see that. So we heated up a little bit of soy sauce with wasabi paste and like mixed it. And I was surprised to see that the wasabi paste was pretty soluble.
Usually it all mixed together quite well. When you do it on the little tray and you're soy sauce, sometimes it's just like chunks of wasabi.
Yeah, but this worked. Yeah, I think the little bit of heat helped push it along.
Yeah.
So we made that sauce, the soy sauce wasabi sauce.
And we put it on kind of like a butter, just like on top. It was definitely a little more liquidy.
Yeah, word of caution, if you do try to make this mixture, add like a little bit of the wasabi sauce at first. Because I feel like if you dump it all on, you're going to get soggy, some soggy pieces. Which
or maybe
avoid.
Just light on the soy.
Light in the soy, heavy on the wasabi.
Yeah, more of a paste.
Yeah, because it has like a kick to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I think that's why I liked it a little bit more maybe than
It's like you're putting your bias of Godzilla onto this popcorn. it's the cooler one. It's more hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta burn yourself just to eat it.
Yeah.
So we have spicy wasabi Godzilla popcorn in one hand. Why don't you tell us what you came up with for King Kong?
So when you're done breathing fire from the Godzilla popcorn, you can transfer over to your King Kong dessert banana popcorn.
Yeah. You put it as if it was eating banana bread popcorn.
I think so. It tastes kind of like banana bread. And that also comes from the fact this is, again, like a sticky, wet popcorn mix that we made. And again, a lot of banana popcorn recipes online are you have to go buy banana extract. Yeah. And I don't know when else you would use banana extract. It doesn't seem like who's going to go out there and buy banana extract just to make a banana flavor popcorn?
So how did you make the sauce or the mash that went with the popcorn?
You said it. We just mashed a banana
mm-hmm.
and we put some cinnamon and some vanilla in there and poured it on top of the popcorn.
Yeah. And similarly, we put a lid on a bowl and then we
shook it up.
And I think what actually might have been a better way to do this one is if we put, like, on a sheet pan all the popcorn and then poured it on top and let it almost, like, glob together and cluster together. Because I think it was
a little sweet and sticky. But almost like a banana bread in that way, if you're okay with the texture of it. But if you're looking for more of a crunchy popcorn banana bread, you can go buy some banana extract and just make it the proper way.
Yeah. But I really like the banana mushy texture, bread texture that we got with making this.
Yeah. I think it was very banana bready.
So wasabi popcorn versus banana bread popcorn. Let us know what you end up liking better.
Choose your favorite.
We'll make them fight. We'll make the popcorn fight each other. And we'll see who wins.
Which was your favorite?
All right. Don't tell Godzilla, but I like the banana bread one a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah. The vanilla cinnamon flavor with like the banana texture, I enjoyed it a little bit more.
I like that too, but I kind of like would choose the wasabi one actually.
It's more, I guess it's more like savory. Do you like the savory?
Maybe that was
one?
It. And we just had eaten sushi, so it paired really well with that as the dessert. And it's not even a dessert. It's kind of just like a savory popcorn.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of sweet popcorns lately, so I was really in the mood
for wasabi.
Yeah,
I would like to get wasabi powder and just, instead of salt, just put some wasabi powder on top and just get that flavor.
Sure.
That might be another nice, the more traditional way to make it.
Yeah. We're not professionals. We're just making popcorn for everyday people here.
We are. So you can, if you ever have sushi one night, you can always venture and try to make this popcorn.
Sure.
But let us know which one you like better. And if you'd like to see how we went through the steps to make it, it's posted on our TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice way. You can see some of the fumbles that we may have made along the way.
Yes.
And it's all a good time. So with our two dueling popcorns, let's get back and talk about this Godzilla v. King Kong. So right off the bat, you get Godzilla waking up to some doo-wop music. Oh, did I say Godzilla? I did this all the time when we were talking during it.
Yeah.
King Kong waking up to some doo-wop music. And this was the first time I saw this version of King Kong. Did you have any initial impressions of him?
Well, we saw King Kong the musical on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my really most intimate knowledge of King Kong.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that. Another iteration of King Kong that we've both been exposed to. But this Kong is not quite as musically talented as...
And puppet-like.
Yeah, this one's much more realistic looking. But I really liked him. I thought he has a very nice expressive face. And I think this movie is way more of a King Kong movie than a Godzilla movie.
Absolutely.
King Kong is really the heart that kind of pushes this all through.
I kept saying, like, I think King Kong's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, he's the most human.
Yeah, right?
They
almost kind of make Godzilla out to be, like, a villain throughout most of it.
He's just a snake lizard in the ocean.
Godzilla, you can empathize with him.
They really could have played on, like, Godzilla losing his girlfriend Mothra in the last movie. Like,
he's depressed.
He's depressed. He lost his girlfriend.
He lost his girlfriend. He lost his ancient three-headed rival. He's just, like, he's like a loner.
He's listless.
What is he doing? He's the king of the monsters, but he doesn't want to be king.
Nothing to live for.
Yeah. Really, King Kong came around and really pulled him out of this depression. So I think it's...
This is a buddy comedy.
I think by the end of it, I think it basically is.
I think that's going to be the next one.
Oh, gosh.
It's going to be a cop comedy.
Yeah. Like, they're going to make... Ooh, we made a gizmo gadget that can translate Godzilla's roars into words. And now Godzilla can talk to everyone. And Kong will be using sign language, I guess. Godzilla doesn't have arms. His arms are too short. He has no fingers for sign language. He can't talk to Kong.
They're going to make him little prosthetic arms.
Hire us legendary pictures, whoever makes this, Warner Brothers. We know what the people want. But King Kong is, they have him like in the Matrix. They have him in like a big fake dome skull, fake Skull Island.
Stephen King.
And again, we didn't see OG Skull Island. I guess Skull Island just disappeared or something. They said it got like sucked up in a storm. So I guess he has no home. Homeless King Kong.
Mm.
And then we get introduced to, what's his name?
Titan Truth Podcast.
Yeah, the podcast, right? The conspiracy theory.
Bernie, the conspiracy theorist.
Who we know from Atlanta as Paperboy.
As I said, Mailman.
And I do like him. I think he's a pretty charismatic and funny guy. I think like this character's kind of overdone and boring at this day and age. Like, crazy conspiracy theorists. Like, in a world where there's literal holes to the center of the earth, right?
Not a conspiracy.
Yeah, like, right? It's like anything could be possible. You have giant lizards walking around. So I feel like it's a little absurd, but we live in an absurd world, so maybe it is possible.
Right. And he was going off in this one of the early scenes about GMOs and apples.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just like to fact check and say that there are really no apples made with GMOs.
Yes. It's, and fluoride in the water corn is not bad for you either.
Really? I have not looked into that.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's not.
But there's this whole Millie Bobby Brown trying to find him and her like weird friend. And they just kind of go on a road trip.
Why is her friend Australian in this movie? He wasn't in the previous movie.
He wasn't in King of Monsters. Maybe he was in the original Godzilla and not the original, the 2014 one.
How would they become friends? Like, I feel like this is a totally new character. No introduction.
Yes.
He's Australian for no reason at all. What? How are they friends? They don't seem to get along. I don't get it.
She just abuses him the whole movie.
This is why I think that Godzilla side of the movie kind of sucks, because the character development is just horrible.
Yeah.
We have like two new characters, Bernie and Australian boy, and honestly, I don't really care about Millie Bobby Brown.
I really don't. And I feel like they expect her to like carry this portion of the movie.
Right, but
she's not quite able to.
I'll tell her that.
We'll glaze over that whole subplot, because it's basically just there to narrate Mechagodzilla being built.
Right.
And they're just there to be like our eyes into it.
But yeah.
They could have just shown it from anyone's perspective. We don't care about Millie Bobby Brown and Bernie.
Yeah, it was almost there, but not quite.
Yeah. So the general plot of this movie is that they got to go to the center of the earth to like find the source of the monsters, and they're gonna take King Kong and be their bodyguard / like guide to go into the center of the earth. They decide to pack up King Kong and take him to Antarctica, where there's like a portal thing. I mean, the entire premise of this plot is putting a lot of faith into King Kong and like assuming they're gonna do. Because at that point, they didn't know that he could speak sign language with the little girl. So they're kind of just like shoving him in front of something and expecting him to do something. So that was a little silly. But you could say that about a lot of things. So.
You could say that about
the entire movie. I said we weren't going to talk a lot about the Millie Bobby Brown plot, but there's an awful Tide Pod joke.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, was this, I guess maybe this was written like 4 years. Maybe they write these movies way ahead of time.
Maybe.
And they're putting in cultural references, because that was a little out of date.
Tide
out of touch.
So funny.
Maybe that's why we dislike it. Like, every joke, too, on that side of that story just doesn't really land either.
Yeah.
It's kind of lame. There's one joke that made me laugh at the end of the movie that we'll get to. we kind of get some progression. They throw Kong onto a boat, and we finally get the first big fight of the movie, which is totally in Godzilla's element, where like Kong is sedated on a boat and he ambushes them. A lot of cool moments. It's hard to narrate action. It was a cool fight. Godzilla kind of destroys King Kong. One little bit I liked was King Kong throwing a jet at King Kong or at Godzilla while the guy's still in there and he just has to like
and
a jet.
And he parachutes out.
Yeah. But it's just Godzilla's absolutely terrifying in the water, which is clearly his element. And I like how overpowered King Kong is in the entire thing.
I like how King Kong kind of used the boat that they had him on as like a surfboard.
Yeah, right. And he does like the thing of like hopping between the boats and stuff. It's all very cool, but he decisively loses this battle. And I'll give it to him that he was drugged up right before this fight
started.
He
was at 80%.
Yeah, he wasn't quite there. And they decide to stop all the boats, and as Godzilla sees them not going towards Antarctica, they're like he kind of leaves them alone. And they have the brilliant idea to strap King Kong to a bunch of helicopters and fly him to Antarctica, which is how they end up brilliant. Getting him there. I really like when they drop him in Antarctica, the frost on his on his coat.
All cold.
And he's like, I guess he hasn't seen him. Skull Island does not have a
it appears
cold
to be
climate.
Tropical.
Yes. So like him being curious, I feel like they play up him being like a curious monkey pretty well.
Yeah.
They give him respect, but he's also like a
curious
confused animal
George.
Type thing. Yes. And they
I feel like there's a lot of playful science in this movie too. Like the whole premise of like what's it called? Hidden Earth?
Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth. Middle Earth being like, the gravity's gonna flip on us when we get inside. It's just a little like, all right.
Yeah. But it's as an excuse to get King Kong to go get a cool axe. I'm okay with it.
Sure.
And the visuals, I thought one cool visual thing of them like going through the upside down gravity and the flying car or whatever was kind of neat. That was cool. And like for them, it's all distorted. Does King Kong just fly through there? Like is King Kong
is
going through a trip
to
too?
Like I think with trip down memory lane, going back to his old homeland,
that's
right?
That's true.
They called him a homing pigeon.
Yeah, homing Kong.
He would
Kong.
Know what to do.
But yeah, this is the point where they realize that the little deaf girl, who's actually my favorite human character, I should point out. I think she's very empathetic towards her. She can talk to Kong through sign language and tells him to go fall down a hole, and they travel to Hollow Earth.
Middle Earth.
To Middle Earth, where we get another cool little fight where King Kong like just shows up and just starts ripping the heads off of
bat
lizard things. I like
so sad that his family does not live down there.
That's
also,
true.
No payoff to that.
Are they implying? Well, there was like statues. I guess it's, I don't know.
It's like Kong Land.
It's just Kong Land, right? Yeah. He was the king. He was the
King Kong
down there. Because there's like a statue of him. There's like,
well, you don't know him. Well, he was his dad,
right? I don't know. Are there more? Is there a lineage
Where are
of
the
Kongs?
That's the next movie too. Kong's search for dad, and his family.
Yeah, they could milk that Hollow Earth for multiple movies, right? Presumably, it's as large as Earth.
The middle of the
the
Earth.
The middle of the Earth. But I think the idea of Kong, like as much as he's a giant monkey, him being desperate enough to want family or like a home to just like fall down this random place that he has no idea where it goes.
They just really play up on the humanizing aspects of King Kong.
Yeah, which really makes you cheer for him by the end of it.
That's why it was kind of weird that like, why do we like Godzilla at all? I still don't understand why you like him.
Well, you see, he shoots fire out of his mouth.
Oh.
So you see, that's a clearly better than monkey.
Okay.
Godzilla didn't ask for it, okay? He was just born that way, and he has to be the best.
The best. We don't call him King Godzilla.
That's true. He's a god, so he's higher than
God
King.
Godzilla.
That's all he needs. So we get Kong going to Hollow Earth, and we get payoff to Millie Bernie Brown's plot of them discovering. And I said, if Mechagodzilla shows up, this is going to be 10 out of 10 for me. So this movie is automatically a 10 out of 10.
You said that in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
When they showed his eye, they like
you
foreshadowed
knew.
With the eye. And they are making Mechagodzilla. Which
meaning, translation, Robot Godzilla.
Robot Godzilla, which is going to rival, real Godzilla. And this was my favorite movie watch. You know, I watched the old Mechagodzilla. This is my favorite growing up.
Oh,
because
is there an original?
Oh, yeah. Mechagodzilla is a whole thing. And it was the only time I ever felt like Godzilla was actually in danger in a fight.
Ooh.
So I feel like he's the real threat. And I, again, we'll get to this, but I feel like they do pay him off as a pretty good threat. So Mechagodzilla wakes up, and that is revealed to be the whole reason Godzilla is kind of in a pissy mood the entire movie, is that
he
they're trying
tell
to clone
they're
him.
Trying to replace
right
him.
Godzilla doesn't want to be replaced by this robot.
This is where all those teen, or not teen angst, but just angsty feelings from Godzilla come in. Like, he just wants to be needed.
Well, you see, Kate, this is actually a commentary on robot automation replacing manual labor in the next decade.
Is Godzilla the bourgeoisie?
No, he's the proletariat.
Mecha-robot is the bourgeoisie.
Yeah, yeah. Godzilla is the hard-working monster every day protecting us. This robot comes along and it's going to replace him. And they have to stop it. That's my deep take on Mechagodzilla. So Godzilla, God, they spend the whole movie trying to get to the Hollow Earth, right? They have to build this technology. Godzilla just gets angry and drills a hole to the center of Hollow Earth that they don't need fancy inverting gravity thing, right?
He just goes down.
I love it. He just drills a hole to the center of the Earth. And King Kong at this point picks up like a magic axe thing, Stormbreaker axe.
Thor.
Thor's axe. And he has charged it up with Godzilla's like
hammer.
Magic breath thing. And he climbs up the hole to Hong Kong and they have their second fight. And that is all as absurd as we quickly summed it up to be.
And this is where you start to lose me a little bit.
And this is where the best fight in the whole movie starts.
Okay.
Of King Kong with the axe versus Godzilla. And the neat neon lights. And
that was cool. I did like the glowing blue
and
moon
it just,
rocks.
It felt like it was right out of an old 60s Godzilla movie where he's just like terrorizing the town or the city. He's just like causing a ruckus. I like that this movie doesn't, you know, some movies are like, what about, you know, the superhero movies especially, they're like, what about the human casualties of this fight that's happened? Godzilla doesn't give a damn. He just breathes fire. He's just destroying the whole town. And I just like that it doesn't care. It's just fun. He's just going crazy.
So fun killing humans.
But I don't know, I'm watching this movie to care about
I care
about Godzilla and I care about King Kong and King Kong swinging off buildings, dodging the breath and everything. It is just so cool. The choreography is so good. And the movie even tells you that King Kong ends up winning round two. He like
ding, ding, ding.
Absorbs Godzilla's breath and then chops him up. And Godzilla, you know, he takes a blow here and
chops
loses.
Him up.
He like, I think he like sinks the axe into like Godzilla's thigh, and that's how the second round ends. He's able to
thick
do it.
Thigh.
Oh my God, Godzilla is so thick. And
I googled it because I thought like he looks unusually thick. But no, original Godzilla is kind of thick too. He's a little bit of a triangle shape.
Yeah.
Pyramid man.
Well, Godzilla's depressed after King of Monsters, so he's been.
Oh, since Mothra's been gone,
he's been letting
Oreos
himself go a little bit.
Aww.
Yeah, but you feel like a real jerk now, don't
oh,
you?
No. I'm sorry, Godzilla.
So that's fight number two. And then there's like a short reprieve where they like stole the energy from Hollow Earth to power up Mechagodzilla. And Mechagodzilla wakes up. He goes berserk. Character that's never like, we watch King of Monsters, so we know it's the son of like the scientist who is following Godzilla. He's piloting Mechagodzilla and gets like electrocuted. And
when they...
I thought that his consciousness was going into Mechagodzilla, but it seems like Mechagodzilla just goes rampaging. So I think he's just dead.
He's just power.
But I feel like there's a lot of good emotion to harvest there. Like his dad died in the last movie. He's obviously...
I mean, they didn't confirm that though, right?
He had the same last name.
Oh, well, I didn't look into that.
Yeah, and the movie acts like, you know, they're not related. So it just seems weird that they had this character that they could have... That was established. It had good emotion there already. And they just kind of like... He just kind of dies.
Could have just been a coincidence. Could have just been some guy.
Some guy with the same last name.
We watched a documentary this morning about a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Who murdered his father. And then the doctor who took over the practice had the same
last
name. So everyone was like, you murdered your father. We're not coming back here to this doctor.
That's true. If anyone likes, I'm not big on true crime. This is a quick aside. I think it's called What's Killing Me.
Yeah.
Something's Killing Me.
Hosted
by B.D. Wong.
Also Li Shang from Mulan.
Yeah. Pretty good true crime, like medical mystery show.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
Back to Godzilla.
There's some payoff of watching King of Monsters where they're using Ghidorah's head to like control Mechagodzilla. So there is some for me personally, I'm glad we watched it just so I can get some closure on Ghidorah's head being there. But Mechagodzilla, I do like that they killed monologuing villain with the robot while he was still monologuing. I thought that was kind of a nice little
Little like, oh, I wanted to hear the end of his speech.
Yeah, that got like a little smile out of me. Fair enough. He wakes up. Mechagodzilla goes berserk, and he ignores Godzilla at first. He's just using his breath to just absolutely annihilate Hong Kong, which is another thumbs up. You get his cool robotic roar, like digitized Godzilla roar, which I like. And Godzilla just completely gets destroyed by Mechagodzilla. Like, not a single chance. He's just getting rockets in the face and punched. And
Liked the one detail I noticed off of Mechagodzilla. Uh-huh. Those rockets, like, underneath his
spikes. To, like, propel his punch forward.
Thought of everything.
Yeah. I really like this design of Mechagodzilla. It's scary.
It seems real.
Yeah.
Oh, like, even the commercial in the very beginning of this movie felt very corporate real.
Yeah.
It was a little scary.
I believe that the second, if there's a monster on this robot, you know, or a monster on this planet, you know, Google or Amazon, they're copying
Bezos
that.
Is going to be like, you're going to love this
monster. I want
that.
Totally believable. So Godzilla's just getting, you know, wrecked by Mechagodzilla, and King Kong is dying. He's over here on the side of the ring.
So sad.
Yeah, and the little girl, like, hears his heart stopping, and we get... Is this the most ridiculous thing in the movie?
Where she's like, there's nothing here that we can restart his heart with. And
this convenient helicopter flying machine.
Which was just told by me can light up the city
Las
Vegas and for a week.
What prongs would they have ever had to, like, release the energy so conveniently onto Godzilla, right?
I think you're going too big brain here. Just don't question it. It's going to make explosion and wake up King Kong's heart. That's all we need
important.
To think about.
And if that's what it takes to get King Kong to wake up again, I'm okay with it.
Ignore logic.
Yes. The guy... Oh, and this is the one funny moment. So we have the blind girl and the monkey scientist talking sign language.
There's no blind girl in this movie.
Oh, did I say blind? The deaf girl and the monkey scientist. they like called him a coward or something in sign language, and then he's saying, you're a brave little girl, and does the coward thing back. And it was just, you know,
that's
it's a cute little callback. I don't remember what the guy's name is even, but it was
Lytle or something.
Lenny?
Aldi?
But that was his one moment that I liked. So he parks the car, jump starts Godzilla. Oh my God. King Kong's heart. And another really cool moment, King Kong smashing his shoulder into the building to like snap it back into place. And it has like this grotesque like cracking noise. That's pretty hardcore. And then the little girl says Godzilla is your friend to King Kong, which King Kong would not know what this lizard's name is, right? He just knows he's a giant monster.
Maybe they've been talking about
what
him.
Is Godzilla. Also, there's a sign language word for Godzilla at this point. I wonder how that develops.
I wonder how canon that is within real life.
Yeah,
sign language.
If you know, please let us know if there's a Godzilla ALS term or not.
ASL,
thank you. And then we get to the real best part of the movie, King Kong and Godzilla teaming up to fight Mechagodzilla. They like grab him by the arms and smash him into the building. You know, they're working together. Mechagodzilla is still destroying them. And then we get the unfortunately annoying payoff of Millie Bobby Brown's plot, where they just pour some water on the computer and it makes Mechagodzilla like spaz out for a moment, which gives them a moment to
rip its head off.
Get back in the fight, which I don't know. I kind of wish they had a better... It's, you know, they needed to do something, but it, like, pouring water on it seems kind of stupid. I wish they made, like, they're going out of their way to, like, jumpstart Godzilla's heart or King Kong's heart. Why not just give them, like, some kind of...
technology?
Yeah. Some ooby-gooby reason of why they were able to stop the satellite uplink, right? It just feels kind of silly.
I mean, I think, again, this is not a movie where we need to be thinking about...
I know, I said going into it, I wasn't going to, but you can't help yourself when you're watching. It's like, oh, gosh. And also, there's absolutely no security in any of these Apex high security.
They
like,
just walk
secret
in.
Secret facilities. They literally just walk in off the street into these secret places. But again, not important. What is important is the cool climax of King Kong picking up the axe, Godzilla charging it up from afar, and then King Kong just cutting the arms and the legs off Mechagodzilla. There's this oil spewing everywhere. He rips the head off, bangs his chest. It's a great triumphant moment for King Kong.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm not even upset that King Kong got kind of the winning killing blow at the end of it. Because he loses the individual fights, but, you
know. In the end, they both win.
In the end, they both win. Which, and you, when you watch these versus movies where it's two, like, quote, good characters, you know they're not going to end up killing each other at the end of it, right? This one, I think, does a good job when they're fighting, where I believe that they're, you know, fighting for a reason.
They really seem to hate each other.
Yes, I think they do. And sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, Captain America and Iron Man are fighting. Like, they don't really dislike each other. They're not going to kill each other. I believe that they would have killed each other, which I like.
Well, they're animals.
Yes, they have that animalistic, like, primal, you know, wanting to be the alpha or whatever. That is all to say, they do defeat Mechagodzilla pretty swiftly with the supercharged axe. They kind of have a mutual understanding. And they're like, I think King Kong is submitting to Godzilla at the end of this. I think he recognizes that Godzilla's not such a bad guy. Let's just let, you know.
Like I said, buddy cop movie, next sequel. Yeah.
I think their rivalry is over. I mean, was it ever really a rivalry? I don't think King Kong ever had a chance in hell of beating Godzilla. But
I disagree.
That's aside the point.
I really think King Kong is the people's monster.
He absolutely is. He's the people's champ.
What happened to Fay Wray? I mean, I guess we're going to have to go back and watch Skull Island or something.
Oh, yeah. I think, and like the whole Hollow Earth, I think, is the plot of Skull Island. But I like King Kong enough that I wouldn't mind going back to watch Skull Island, honestly.
People say great things about Skull Island.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end. We get a closing shot of King Kong in Hollow Earth. He's moved back in. Assuming, you know, presumably he's the king of Hollow Earth again.
It's very nice.
Ripping off heads, sitting on his throne. It's all having a good time. And it closes with a triumphant shot of him looking over Hollow Earth, being back home. Which I think is a pretty good emotional ending for a movie about a monkey and a dragon fighting each other. I felt pretty happy at the end of it.
Exactly. We weren't asking for much here. So it paid off.
Yeah. Cool action. Okay human stuff. And a big monkey heart to carry the whole movie through.
What was your popping moment of this movie?
Oh boy, we're going to be here all day.
Oh my gosh, please pick one.
If I had to pick one, I do think it is the very end of Godzilla breathing on the axe and then King Kong chopping up Mechagodzilla. You know, that's the obvious climax. Second would be King Kong swinging around Hong Kong while Godzilla's breathing at him. It's like, it really felt like a monkey, like in the jungle, like swinging around really agile. They really show King Kong's agility quite well in this.
Yeah.
So, him chopping up Mechagodzilla. How about you?
Well, don't give me that face. You know, I'm not a huge fan of action. So, I can't really pick an action scene that popped for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the part when they were learning that he knows sign language.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Yeah. It's sad that Godzilla doesn't get any humanizing. I guess they have an understanding roar at each other, and that's the most you get.
Last movie, he had Mothra.
That's true. Mothra was like, you know, his rock.
I really wish Mothra was in this movie.
Mecha Mothra is going to come back.
That would be great.
It would be. But no, overall, I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot more than King of Monsters.
Oh yeah, that was nothing.
I'm primed to like this action-y monster stuff, and even I didn't like King of Monsters. This one, though, two thumbs up. Watch it. And if you're really not feeling the human stuff, just, you know, maybe fast forward a little bit to when you see him fighting, and I think you'll get the most out of it.
Or if you're like me, do the exact opposite.
Only watch the Millie Bobby Brown scenes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that would be
really
great. If
you
want
to like literally kill yourself, just watch the Millie Bobby Brown parts of this movie.
Oh, it's the worst.
No, the Kong people. That was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to offset them.
No, they were good.
They were pretty good. Any other closing thoughts on Godzilla versus King Kong?
King Kong.
Do you hope they make a Godzilla movie next or a King Kong movie next?
I hope they don't make any other movies that I don't want to watch anymore.
Honey, there's a couple hundred million reasons why they're going to make another one. I'm sorry to tell you.
King Kong.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I don't know a lot about Godzilla, so maybe I need to watch more Godzilla, but it's just more enjoyable. King Kong.
Yeah, people. I guess the mystery of Godzilla, why does he do what he does? He just kind of does what he wants. Maybe that's what I like. You know, he's like a rogue independent.
He's a rebel daddy.
All right, that's enough of me navel gazing about Godzilla.
I'm ready for Mothra, the movie.
Mothra.
That's
yes.
What we'll cover next.
Okay. Yeah. If they ever make that, we'll do a big pod for that.
Oh heck yeah.
But no, I know this is not your cup of tea, but I appreciate you watching it. I hope you're able to enjoy some monkey action.
Yes.
Throughout all of it.
I did.
But all in all, check it out. It's on HBO for free until the end of April, I think. So.
Or I think you can go in the movie theaters now.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw some people on social media. I have to say, this is a good movie to break your... Assuming you're fully vaccinated, can safely go to the movie theater. This is a good enough... This is like... I could imagine seeing this like loud on the big screen. Some of these action scenes would have been even more enjoyable.
Yeah.
So.
Must be unfortunate for the movie theaters next to the Godzilla.
Yeah. Well, what was that?
When the last Godzilla came on. Yeah. Elton John movie was out. And I remember seeing this post. Because I did see it in the theaters, the Elton John movie. And I did hear Godzilla in the movie theater next to us in the silent, emotional Elton John scenes.
Yeah. So luckily, you probably won't run into that problem. I am curious on the feedback for this episode. If you're happy with how the fights went. I know like the who would win... monster versus monster debate can get pretty heated. So I'm curious if you thought that they did the fights well, if you felt like Godzilla and King Kong were given their proper fight dues. So if you have any strong feelings about it, please reach out to us.
Yeah. You, Jared.
Yes,
reach
Jared.
Out to Jared.
Thanks for listening to Popping Into Movies.
To view recipes and pictures of all the popcorns we've made, you can find us on Instagram at poppingintomovies.
If you want to send us feedback on what you thought about this episode or have a suggestion for a future episode, you can reach us directly at poppingintomovies@gmail.com or on Twitter at poppingmovies.
You can also leave us a message on Anchor through the link in the episode description. It might just show up in a future episode.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.